Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mike and have the privilege to bring to you this morning's message. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a song or even a poem that you heard or you read that just completely connected to your soul because an artist or an author was able to pin exactly what you thought and were thinking and feeling even if you couldn't? Anybody ever experienced that before? Yeah, see, music is just, it's emotive, right? When you're sad, you listen to sad songs. Right? When you're angry, you kind of listen to heavier songs. When you're in love, you listen to love songs. Songs and poems just have a way to connect to us with what we're going through and what we're feeling, good or bad. I think that's why so many people love the Book of Psalms. And I just want to talk about the Book of Psalms real quick before we dive into things. There are three general themes to the Book of Psalms. There are Psalms of orientation, disorientation, and new orientation. Well, what does all that mean? It's a great question. So, Psalms of orientation are poems that speak to the human life that is in seasons of well-being and gratitude for the consistency of God and his blessings. Psalms of orientation are filled with and articulate joy and delight and God's goodness in the harmony and reliability of God and his creation and also in God's law. For example, have you ever marveled at God's creation? Like a sunset? Ocean, mountains, animals. Ever marveled at the order of the universe? The creation of man? Ever read your Bible and are just grateful for God's concrete and steadfast law and wisdom over your life? Well, if you have, and then you decided to write a psalm about it, you would be writing a psalm of orientation. Now, psalms of disorientation are just the opposite. They speak to human life that is in seasons of hurt and alienation, suffering, death. These poems invoke rage and resentment, self-pity, hatred. In these laments, you're going to see language full of extravagance and hyperbole. I don't think these psalms of disorientation are too hard to understand and to grasp. Ever feel like you've been in the valley of the shadow of death? That nothing is going your way? Where there's pain and brokenness and destruction and ruin? See, the human experience, they know these feelings and thoughts. And then if you decided to write a psalm about these experiences, you would be writing a psalm of disorientation. And finally, psalms of new orientation are psalms of human life that experiences kind of like the turn of surprise and are overwhelmed with the new gifts that God has given. In other words, it's like when joy breaks through the despair. These psalms affirm a sovereign God who put mankind into new situations. You're going to see movement in these psalms from disorientation to new orientation. So what does God do after you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you're coming out of it? After the pain and the heartbreak, what does God do? What new doors does God open up? New opportunities, new experiences, new seasons, new life. Right? The sun rises on what? A new day. If you have these experiences, the after the pain, and then decided to write about it, you would be writing a psalm of new orientation. You can visually picture these things like this picture up here. The bottom left there, you see the orientation. You have the green pastures, right? You have flowers. Things are good and peaceful. Concrete, stable, orderly. Aspects of life are certainly like this, right? That's orientation. And then you have the valley, the dark valley. Now, I don't know what's down there, but I don't want to be down there. Looks pretty scary. Pain, hardship, heartache, that's disorientation. We all go through seasons of life like that, don't we? And then you have the coming out of the other side. You're kind of coming out of the darkness. You're entering into a new land. There's new seasons. There's new life. That's the mountain kind of up there. That's new orientation. So today, as we reflect and as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I want to briefly look at a psalm of new orientation, Psalm 30. What we know about this psalm is that David is the author. He's the one who wrote it. And David is praising God for rescuing him from danger and from difficult situations. The Psalms tells us the story of David. David's going into trouble, but David is coming out of trouble. And our God is faithful. And our God is good. And he was about to bring David into a new season of life. And so David experienced four new things in Psalm 30 that we're going to talk about. Let me pray real quick, though, before we jump in. Father God, we just want to say thanks for this day and for this opportunity that we have just to be with you here. And Jesus, as we reflect on Psalm 30 right now, may your words be my words. God, may your words penetrate our hearts. May we realize just how good and how faithful you are. And Jesus, we have so many reasons to praise you and to say thanks. God, it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. So we're in Psalm 30. Psalm 30, you can open your Bibles there. It's going to be on your screen behind me. Psalm 30, starting in verse 1, it says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you restored my health. And you brought me up from the grave, O Lord, and you kept me from falling into the pit of death. So we don't know what situation and circumstances David is directly referring to from his life here in Psalm 30. But we do see him facing two major problems. Number one, it's the sinking mire beneath him that was taking him down to the pit. In other words, the ground beneath him was crumbling, and he was heading towards destruction and death. Something I'm sure that we have never experienced before. And then the second trouble that David was dealing with is his enemies around him wanted him dead. They wanted him dead. And think about it. David was a soldier, right? He was a warrior. He was a leader for most of his life. He was in battle. So he could be talking about any near-death experience that he narrowly escaped. But what we do see here is important is this, that David acknowledged the fact that it was God who held him up. It was God who didn't let him fall into the pit, into the grave, which is referring to death. Now, David, he wasn't immortal, was he? One day his body was going to die, and he would pass from this life on to the next. And he knew that there were many, many occasions where it was God himself who delayed his death, that it was God who rescued David, that it was God who restored David's health, that it was God who brought David up from the grave, and it was God who kept him from falling. It was always God. Therefore, the new victory that David experienced from death to life was because God had protected him. God had rescued him. God had given David a new lease on life. So church, let's just pause for a moment and let's do some self-reflection here for a second. Can you think of a time where God rescued you? Where God delivered you? Where God saved you? Saved you from the hand of the enemy or from evil? Can we praise God for those moments? Yeah. Yeah, God has certainly given us new victory, just like he gave David. Look at Psalm 4, 30, verse 4 now. It says, sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. We see here that David experiences a new day from night to morning. In verse 4, this is interesting, that it reveals that this is not just David's personal or private expression of praise or thanksgiving, but David, he is inviting his congregation, he is inviting his people to join him in worship. Right? Magnify the Lord with me. Come join with me as we praise God. And then we see two contrasts in verse 5, which is what is David's motivation to praise in the first place. The first contrast is this, from God's anger to God's favor. God, his anger, his correction, his rebuke is but a moment compared to a lifetime of grace that God showers down on us over and over and over. And then the second contrast that David has here is it's a night of weeping into a morning of joy. And after a painful night in the dark comes the dawning of a new day, right? And each morning, God's mercies are what? New. Are new. You know, when my family moved here from Dover, it was really hard on my kids. And if you think about it, Dover was all that they knew. It was their whole lives were in Dover. All their experiences, all their memories, all their friends were in Dover. And day after day, we would try to give them space to be honest about their thoughts and their feelings while trying to help them understand that God is still good and faithful. And I had my daughter start and keep a grateful journal. So for 6 months, 182 days, what she would do is she would write in her journal one thing that she was thankful for. It was important for her to pause and reflect that even in the midst of pain and heartache, that it was still important to remember God and remember his goodness and remember his blessing in her life, even if at that moment she didn't feel it. And you know what? What David said here in verse 5 is true, that what comes in the morning is joy. And my daughter has joy in her life now. And church family, the point of this, it's important to praise God even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Even when you don't feel it, even when your emotions are telling you otherwise, is God still good? Is God still faithful? Is God still on the throne? So even if you are in a season of mourning, what you have to do is you have to remind your mind of who God is and what he's done in your life and what he promises to do. And then you praise him for it. In the next section of Psalm 30, David experiences a new heart as God transforms his life from pride to humility. Look at verse 6 now. It says, "When I was prosperous, I said, 'Nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain.' And then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord, and I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, 'What will you gain if I die? If I sink into the grave, can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord.'" So here we really see David's story kind of unfolding a little bit. This word prosperity that we see in verse 6, what this means is careless ease. Careless ease. And it has this idea of one as carefree self-assurance because things are going so well. And this can definitely be a temptation for David and for us. Like, think about it. When things are going well, how often do you cry out to God? How often do you acknowledge God? How often are you dependent upon God? When things are going well, how much do we need God? But isn't it more like when we're in despair, in pain? That's when we yearn for God. That's where we yearn for His grace and His presence. See, I think the Lord really shows us where our faith is in times of trials. And that's why trials are so important, because they're so revealing, whether good or bad. And David was prosperous, right? He used the word, he felt like a mountain, a mountain. But the Lord showed him just how weak he was. And it was in his weakness that David cried out to the Lord. Even though David was great, he was a mighty king, he had a vast kingdom, but he was one short breath away from dust, from the grave. And David knew this. And so God gave him a new heart that yearned for the things of God and not the things of this world. And church family, I pray for us that we all find ourselves in a daily position on our knees, desiring and yearning for God and His grace and His presence. And may we never find ourselves content in our own prosperity. May we never be content in our own flesh or in this world. Our final new experience that David had was a new song. A new song. From mourning to rejoicing. Look at Psalm 11 now. Psalm 30, 11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. A new song. You know, 8 times in Psalm 30 does David use this language, you have. In verse 1, we see him say, you rescued. You refused. In verse 2, you restored. In verse 3, you brought. You kept. Verse 7, you turned away. Verse 11, you have turned. You have taken away. You see, David knew that it was God's strong hand and God's gracious hand that was working on his behalf. Even if God was correcting David, David knew it was an expression of God's love for him. And David was not perfect, was he? No. He was human. He was a sinner, just like you and I. But once he knew he was forgiven, it's like he took off his clothes of sadness, he took off his clothes of mourning, and he put on new clothes, new garments of joy and gladness and celebration. Because of the change that the Lord did in David's life, he had a new song to sing. And God is certainly worthy of David's praise. And he's worthy of our praise. Church family, experiences in your life, even the difficult, painful ones, are an opportunity to either throw yourself a pity party or to sing a joyful song to the Lord who sits on the throne. See, David knew that the new life that he had was only given by God. And he had a new victory. And he had a new day. And he had a new heart. And he had a new song. Therefore, it was impossible for him to stay silent. He just had to praise. He had no other choice. And so he had to throw off his clothes of mourning. And he had to change his attitude. And he had to worship. And as he reflected, and as he remembered who God did and who he was, he just had to praise. So what about us? What about you? When you pause and remember who God is and what he's done, do you praise and thank him for that?